Can't finish watching them, for their life is just simply too ungodly, the things that they were involved in. In this particular documentary, it was actually quite interesting. One of the scenes in the documentary was when two famous people were sitting in a restaurant. As they were sitting in the restaurant, they were talking about the effects of fame and how that impacts people, that whenever they go into society, into the public, there are many people that recognize them. This particular, it was a band, particular band had three members in it. One of the members absolutely hated going in public, couldn't stand the meet and greets that they would do. The lead member of this group was very, very well recognizable, and everybody knew who this person was. And the third member was also well known, very gregarious sort of person, but not recognized. And in this particular scene, or not as easily recognized, in this particular scene, they were in a restaurant and the waitress was asking for the autograph of the lead person. It was very interesting that the two of them were sitting there at the booth and she was reaching over the other member of the band and wanting the first person's signature, not even really recognizing that right beside him was another person of that same band that was just as well known and or just as famous as the first person. And the well-known gentleman says to her, "You can get his autograph too. He's in the band." "Oh yeah, yeah," she says, "no problem." And then she leaves and never gets his autograph. What do you do with fame and recognition? What is it about famous people that we just like to flock, it seems, to them? We want their autograph. We want their picture with them. We want to be able to say we shook their hand. Why do we do these sorts of things? In our passage today, you will see that Jesus was a well-known person. He was well-recognized by everyone, and yet they really did not understand who Jesus was. Jesus had just finished feeding 5,000 men from five loaves and two fish. And in feeding these 5,000 men, Jesus had revealed, peeled back, as it were, another layer of who he really is. That was confirmed to the disciples as they were in the middle of the sea after the feeding of the 5,000 and were caught in the middle of the storm. And Jesus comes to them, and as you remember, he was about to pass them by, thereby revealing to himself that he was God and that he is God. You saw last time that Jesus, the Son of God, delivers his people from their troubles. And by God's grace this morning, I want to show you that many people do not see Jesus for who he is, but only for what he does. You will see this in 2 points. The people flock for healing to Jesus, and Jesus heals their sicknesses. The people flock for healing, and Jesus heals their sicknesses. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. The disciples, when we left them, were in the middle of the sea. Jesus had just stepped into the boat with them, and immediately the water had been calm. And the disciples were greatly amazed They were amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled. They could not believe what had just happened. And now they come to the shore, and they arrive in a region called Gennesaret. Gennesaret is located on the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's a plain that stretches from the Sea of Galilee about 1 mile inland and about 4 or 5 miles along the Sea of Galilee. It's an extremely fertile land there on the northwestern edge of the Sea of Galilee. Many fruit grow there, olives, palms, walnuts. It's just a place where there is plentiful of provision. The soil is rich and loamy. It's well watered, and it was a good place to be. And Jesus and his disciples landed there, and they get out of the boat. And because of Jesus' popularity as a physical healer, he drew many people to himself. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they had come out of the boat, immediately the people recognized them. As they were standing out of the boat, the people saw Jesus. They caught a glimpse of him. And they said, "That's Jesus. That's the man that healed, that's been healing the sick that we've been hearing all around the land of Galilee. That's the man whom we've heard his disciples speak about. That's the man who just fed 5,000 men, not including the women and children, from 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's the man." And they were excited as they saw him disembark. And we're told that he ran throughout the whole surrounding region. They recognized Jesus for who he is. He was immediately identified. But notice what they identified him for. As you'll see later on in the passage, they identified him as the great healer, as the one who could take care of their sicknesses. And so they began to run around the region. They ran throughout the whole surrounding region and began to say, "Jesus is in Gennesaret. Jesus is over by the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus, the one who heals the sick, he's come to our area." And they began to spread the word, and they did it in haste. They wanted to see Jesus, and they wanted to be with him. It's almost like that famous person wanting their autograph. They just wanted to be in his presence. And so as they ran throughout the whole region, the people heard that Jesus was there, and they began to carry the sick to him. They began to carry them about on the bed wherever they heard that he was. You see, they recognized Jesus as a doctor, and they wanted to take this opportunity to take their loved ones, their friends, their family, to be healed by Jesus. And they had really, the message as it was carried out throughout the region was one is that Jesus is in Gennesaret. Well, where is he in Gennesaret? Well, he's over there by that rock. He's over there by that tree, wherever. And then they get there, and Jesus is no longer there, but he's somewhere else. He's moving around the region. And so they begin to say, well, he was here, but he's going over there. It reminds me of when Jacob sent Joseph to check up on his brothers. He sent Joseph to one place where his brothers were supposed to be. And when Joseph got there, his brothers weren't there, and he asked a shepherd, a gentleman that was in the area, say, "Where are my brothers?" "Oh, they went over to another pasture land," and there Joseph went. In a similar way, it was with Jesus. He was moving around the region, and they were carrying the sick to Jesus wherever they heard that he was. You see, there was a continuing need for Jesus' healing ministry. I am frequently amazed that over this period of time in which Jesus ministered, that so many came to him for healing. Was the whole population sick? I mean, it just seems like everybody had a disease or sickness or some kind of frailty And they were constantly coming to Jesus. But you see, Jesus' healing ministry served to verify his claims to be the Son of God. They proved that he is who he said he was. But these healing ministry, these healing miracles of Jesus also demonstrated that he was able to do what he claimed that he would do. You see, Jesus was instantly recognized by the people. Are Jesus' followers instantly recognized by others? You see, in one sense, Jesus still ought to be recognized in the life of the believer, because Jesus has changed the believer's life so that they don't no longer do the things that they used to do. I was speaking with someone this week, and he was sharing how he is involved in a mentorship program. And he was speaking about somebody that he had been involved in mentoring for a number of years. And he said that this person would be involved in this program and then would quit. And then this person would start the program again and quit. And the person would start the program all over again and quit. But he said about a month ago, he said there was something different. Something had changed in this person whom he was mentoring. And he said, I believe that it was Christ who had come to make himself known in the life of this man. You see, Christ is known in the life of his people. Believers are called to put on Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be transformed by the renewing of their minds. For it's the love of Christ, it is the love of God in Christ that sets the Christian apart from everyone else. And so the question for you is, do others recognize that Jesus lives in you? Now, I know you're not Jesus, and we don't live a perfect life. We live a life that is less than perfect. And yet, Christ, as he works in you, as he works in me, changes us so that when others see how we live and how we've changed, they see Jesus. You see, many people do not see Jesus for who he is, but only for what he does. Jesus healed everyone who came to him in faith. Wherever he entered into the villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. You see, everyone who came to Jesus in faith, Jesus healed. He entered the villages, he entered the cities, he entered the countryside. He was moving rapidly from place to place. It's interesting that in this portion of the text, there is no mention of a teaching or preaching ministry, simply that Jesus was healing. And he was responding to a plethora of requests for healing. Everywhere he went, the sick were being laid. Everywhere he went, people were crying out, please, I need to be healed. Would you rid me of this affliction? And so as they brought their sick friends and their sick relatives, they brought them to the marketplaces. The marketplaces were the central meeting places of the community. It was the places where business was often enacted, or the civil laws were enforced. Judgments were made. It was as if it was the court, and official legal decisions were made. And the people were beginning to, it seems, anticipate Jesus' movements. And they desired to place themselves in a good position so that they might touch him. And notice what they were doing. They begged him to touch his garments. At the very least, all they wanted to do was just to touch the hem of his garments. They pleaded with him. They entreated him. They urged him, appealed to him. They implored him, please, let us touch your garments. And you get this idea of a sense of urgency. as everyone is clamoring for Jesus, please come near. I want to, let me touch your garment. Let me touch the hem. Perhaps they'd heard of the woman with the issue of blood who had been healed by coming up behind Jesus and touching the hem of his garment. Were the people superstitious? I don't know. The text doesn't tell us, but it does tell us that they believed that touching, just the mere act of touching Jesus, they would receive healing. But notice that Jesus granted their desire, and as many as touched him were made well. They believed that Jesus could heal and would heal their diseases. It doesn't say that Jesus talked with them. It doesn't say that Jesus interacted with them. Simply that they reached out to touch him, and they were made well. That word made well is the word that is often translated for saved, that Jesus saves us from our sins. Jesus rescued, saves, frees people. In this sense, Jesus rescued the people from their diseases. He delivered them from the physical afflictions which they experienced. But you see, it was not the touch that healed the people. It wasn't the mere act that they reached out and touched his garment and somehow superstitiously there was healing in that act. The fact is that it was the will of Jesus that performed this healing. Jesus determined that these people would be healed at the touch. He determined that he would answer their requests. You see, faith in Jesus is not a superstitious faith. Reach out and touch Jesus and you'll be healed. No, it's a resting and trusting that what Jesus will do what he has promised he will do. You see, faith is grounded in the living person. It's grounded in a living person, Jesus. It is grounded in God who became man. God who took to himself a true body and a reasonable soul. You see, Jesus had made himself known in the feeding of the 5,000, in the walking on the water. And Jesus is making himself known also in the healing of these people. He is giving notice, as it were, that he is God and man. He is fully God, the living God, the true God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who is able to heal all your diseases and all your iniquities. This is what Jesus is making known to the people. This is what he is uncovering. And this is a gracious act of Jesus. He didn't hold back from healing any who came to him believing that they would be healed at his touch. You see, the people, they did not see Jesus for who he is, but only for what he does. They flocked to Jesus because there was something that he could offer to them that they could not get anywhere else. They flocked to Jesus because they were sick and they were not feeling well, and they knew that he was able to make them feel better. But that's all that they saw of Jesus. That's all that they recognized of him. That he was a great man, a great teacher, but they did not see him for who he really is, as God, as the Son of God. And the sad thing is that there are many people today who do not see Jesus for who he really is. They see Jesus as maybe a teacher. They see Jesus as a myth. They see Jesus as somebody for weak people to cling to when the going gets rough, because he's the only thing that's going to get them through. They have not come face to face with Jesus as he has revealed himself in the Scriptures. You see, it's very easy even for us in the church to take for granted who Jesus is. We often take it for granted that we are saved because we come to church, because we do the right things, because we say the right things, but then we live a life without sanctification. That is, a life that is not conformed into the image of Christ. It's very easy to present Jesus as an easy way to financial stability, as you hear in the health and the wealth gospel that so many are proclaiming. And the only financial stability that comes about is the financial stability of the preacher, the one who says, "Give me your money or I'm going to die if you don't give me this money." But that's not who Jesus is. Jesus is not a talisman. He's not a myth. He's not a story. He's a person. He's a person who came he is God who came in the flesh in order to make himself known to you, in order to make the love of God visible in a manifest, in a way that no other God has ever been able to do. But you see, so many people continue to prance about. The world continues to prance about following after a Jesus that the Bible does not describe. Even within the church, there has been in the modern history of the church a search for the real Jesus. What is this search for the real Jesus? Well, the Jesus, as he is described in the Scriptures, is not the man who actually walked on the earth. For the man who walked on the earth was just that, a man. He was not God. But his disciples, when he died, they needed some way of reconciling everything that Jesus had said and everything that they had witnessed. Because Jesus was a good example for people to follow, but that's all that he is. You see, and the world continues to look at Jesus in that way, as simply a man, but not as the Savior of God's elect. Are there any here who do not know the Lord Jesus? What is your view of Jesus? What is my view of Jesus? Do we really see Jesus for who he is? As the Son of God who died for our sins? This morning I was filled with much anxiety. It's not something that's uncommon for me or for others. But why is it that we are filled with anxiety? Is it because, on the one hand, we don't trust in Christ as we ought? Is it because we think that I can do it myself? Many people do not see Jesus for who he really is. But you see, Jesus continues to heal everyone who comes to him by faith, not physically, spiritually. For remember, the Scripture says that we are dead in our sins and trespasses, but we've been made alive together in Christ. And this is yours when you receive and rest on Christ alone, as he is offered to you in the gospel. Faith is that instrument whereby Christ becomes yours. Without faith, you cannot be saved, but faith does not save you. Just like these people were healed by reaching out and touching his garment, but the act of reaching and touching his garment did not save. It is Christ who saves, because Christ died on the cross for those who were dead in sins and trespasses. You see, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he has offered to us in the gospel. Jesus, in his ministry on the earth, was very well recognized. The people knew him for what he did, but they did not know him for who he is. Do you see Jesus for who he is? Do you know him? Do you love him? Do you trust in him alone for your salvation? Or is he simply a good teacher? Someone whom you pay lip service to because he has done good things for you, because you have been blessed. Who is Jesus? Do you know him?